You're listening to The Jake Asman Show on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Jake Asman.
The Athletic delivers every sports story that matters. The Athletic has full-time local writers dedicated to your teams, providing breaking news, in-depth analysis, and exclusive stories you can't find anywhere else. National names like Robert Mays, Stuart Mandel, David Aldridge, Ken Rosenthal, and Lindsey Jones provide unrivaled league-level perspective and insight, all personalized and ad-free. Whether you're looking for a fantasy football edge or the long-term outlook for your NBA team, The Athletic has the sports coverage you need. Subscribe today for $1 a week at theathletic.com/radioweek. Once again, that's theathletic.com/radioweek. Joining us now on our progressive guest line to talk all things college basketball and the NBA draft, which is tomorrow night, is a friend of the show, one of the great analysts in media today, Seth Greenberg, joins us now. Seth, I can't thank you enough for making some time this morning, and I hope all is well on your end.
Things are good. I mean, obviously difficult times, different times, challenging times, but fortunately our family's doing well, and we're more fortunate than most and thankful for it. And I just hope that eventually we find this vaccine, find a way to distribute it and find a way to get everyone to pull in the same direction, find a common ground. So I'm very fortunate and thankful.
Now, you and I are both from Long Island. Are you there right now?
No, I live in Connecticut. I live about 15 minutes from ESPN in a town called Avon, Connecticut. Actually, we're getting ready to start our season next Wednesday, hopefully, and we've gotten news about the NCAA tournament this past week, potentially going to Indiana in a bubble. So it's time to get back to work, and hopefully we can start the season next Wednesday.
Absolutely. So I want to get your thoughts on that and on looking ahead to the season. But first, with the NBA draft tomorrow, I'm curious, Seth. We've had a bunch of people on the show, and it's been, you know, a different answer pretty much every time I've asked the question. The question is, who is the best player in this draft? In your eyes, who is that player?
I think this draft is built on depth and not best. I think there are a number of guys, actually, quite honestly, I think there are a number of guys that can go later in the draft that could end up being the most productive player in the draft. Now, I do like it. It all depends on your need. It all depends on the players on your team. It all depends on your expectation for your team in that moment of your organization. I think James Wiseman is a really interesting prospect, but I'm not sure he fits with Minnesota. I mean, he's a seven-footer with 7'6" wingspan. He can run the floor. He can block shots. He's got a floor game. You know, could he be Chris Bosh? I don't know. He might be able to be Chris Bosh. LaMelo Ball is the most interesting prospect in the draft in that, you know, he's 6'7", he's got incredible, incredible vision. He's got great feel. But is he a winning player? Who does he defend? He's a risk-reward passer. But you know, his feel for the game is undeniable. Then Anthony Edwards, if you're talking the top three, is a physical specimen. 6'5", 6'9", wingspan, terrific in transition. Doesn't have a great feel for the game. He's a 29% three-point shooter from the college line. Shot selection isn't great, not great without the ball. So those three guys, they have a chance. They all have a chance. But there are guys later in the draft. The Tyrese Halliburtons are later in the draft that are interesting. Obi Toppin offensively is ready to go. Defensively, not so much. You start going down the draft line, Sadiq Bey. Why is he undervalued when he's a guy that you can plug in right away who has maturity? Devin Vassell's got maturity. Patrick Williams from Florida State's got upside. So I think there are a lot of ifs in this draft, and you know, a lot will be determined on who they get drafted, the environment and the culture they go into. So I think it's going to be a fascinating Wednesday evening.
Seth Greenberg joining us here on the Jake Asman Show. You mentioned LaMelo Ball. How would you compare him as a prospect to what Lonzo was when he came out of UCLA?
He's more athletic, a little bit longer, a little bit quicker. I like his, at the same point, his release is not as unorthodox, but his shot selection is suspect. And, you know, the biggest thing with LaMelo Ball is, will he commit to being a winning player? You can't just be a player, you gotta be a winning player. Will he commit to being a winning player? He'll be on SportsCenter top 10 because he makes passes that very few guys can make. The problem is, The guy averaged 6 turnovers a game. You're not winning in the playoffs with a guy turning it over 6 times a game. And then his shot selection. If he could buy in and understand how to become a winning player, fit in your locker room, be with a veteran team, he could be really a special player. But those are a lot of ifs. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, I think he's going to be a productive player, but can he be a winning player? I think that's the question for me.
Anthony Edwards has been compared to Dwayne Wade. Do you see that type of talent with Edwards?
Well, by Dom Crean, who obviously was his high school, college coach. Look, athletically, yes. Feel and skill, no. I mean, look, Anthony Edwards is a genetic freak. He is physically strong. Now, a red flag to me, I don't think that Dwayne Wade, coming out of Marquette, would have ever gone to a workout on national TV not in shape. Because that workout he did on ESPN with Tyrese Maxey looked like he was absolutely going to a job interview in incredible shape with incredible enthusiasm, incredible energy. Anthony Edwards, to me, looked sluggish, not in great shape, and didn't embrace the workout with an energy and a passion that you would expect from a guy that could be the number one pick in the draft. Now, yet, you know, Mike Schmitz and those guys are saying that's where people are leading. That's where Minnesota's leading. He is explosive in transition, but again, he's number one player in the draft. Don't you think his team should have found a way to win more games?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what's so tough, Seth, just looking at it. And you would know as someone who obviously coached at the highest level possible in the ACC, how much of that is just on, you know, a college player is still developing and it's tough as a freshman to come in and win a lot of games. And, you know, how much should be on the player that everyone's saying, you know, could be the next great one in the league to win more games than they did, obviously, in his one season there.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a push. I mean, you know, you're putting a lot on the shoulders of a freshman. You know, it was Tom Crean's second year in the program. A lot was expected of him. But I mean, I just think they needed to be better. You know, his shot selection was not good. He was a volume shooter, didn't shoot a high percentage. That's just the way it is. He shot 29% from the 3-point line. Is it because he didn't know where his shots were coming from? Is it because he didn't wait on screens? Is it because he wasn't shot ready? Now, he had that great game against Michigan State, and everyone points to that game. And look, he was phenomenal after the game was over. It was a 20-point difference. So, could he be good again? I think a lot of the success of a player, and I'll use Tyler Herro, I'll use Bam Adebayo as examples. You get into the right culture, you get in the right organization, you get with the right leadership, and the transition is easier. Does Tyler Herro have the same transition if he went to the Sacramento Kings? I don't know, but that's something you got to ask.
Seth Greenberg joining us here. As far as, you know, the NCAA season coming up, you mentioned it next Wednesday we hope to start everything. It does look like the NCAA is aiming to hold the entire 68-team tournament in just one location. Indianapolis looks likely. Do you like the idea of, you know, putting all 68 teams in one spot and doing this thing?
I think whatever we have to do to have a tournament, we need to do. I think we need to make sure these guys are in a safe environment. I think that if you know, if you put each 16 teams in 4 different regions, you've got 4 different states, you've got 4 different county municipalities in terms of rules in relation to the virus. You've got to understand certain states are going to have quarantine rules, certain states are going to have certain protocols in place, and then as you advance each week, what happens when you move to the next region? Now, what are their protocols going to be? What are their counties' rules and guidelines going to be? So I think it's the smartest thing to do. A place like Indianapolis, where, look, the game's not going to be in Indianapolis, but they have the hotels. They can keep people separated. You can have limited access, isolation environments. You have enough different venues. There's going to be protocols in place where you're either going to be playing a game, practicing, or with your team in your environment. It's a centralized place for testing. I think it makes sense.
On the Jake Asman Show is ESPN College basketball analyst Seth Greenberg. You can follow him on Twitter, at Seth on Hoops. Finally, Seth, I want to ask you about what Rick Pitino said the other day. He suggested wanting to move the college season back and essentially having a May Madness. Do you agree with Coach Pitino's comments about moving the season back?
I've got great respect for Rick, but I 100% disagree with him on a number of different levels. Level number one is we need to move it up as opposed to move it back, because that gives you greater flexibility. Number two, and we're seeing that with the Pac-12. We're seeing that with the Big Ten. Number two, look what this Wisconsin team's been through. Number two, which I think is important, is the mental health aspect of it. These kids have been on campus since July. They finally have something to look forward to. They've basically been living in isolation. They've basically been living in quarantine, a good number of them. And for their mental health, you say, well, if you're going to start in March, do you send them home for Christmas? You're sending a lot of these kids home in environments that are not as safe as the ones that they are on campus. God forbid someone gets the virus. When you're on campus, you have world-class medical care right at your fingertips. All right, you have incredible testing. You have a more healthier environment in a lot of cases. So, no, I think we should have started earlier. I think that we are starting. Look, plan, protocol, and patience. We're going to have roadblocks. We're going to have detours. We're going to have games canceled. We're going to have teams that are going to have to deal with contact tracing and other things. But, and the big but is, all right, we have time. And I think moving the season back would be detrimental emotionally, mentally, and it would limit our options. Look, we hear the vaccine's right around the corner, and that is incredible news. Incredible news. Obviously, the distribution and execution of getting the vaccine and the number of people that will be able to get the vaccine, that's the bigger question. So I think we try to move forward and we try to keep the players as safe as humanly possible, and we understand there will be roadblocks and detours.
He's Seth Greenberg, of course, longtime ESPN college basketball analyst, a two-time ACC Coach of the Year, kind enough with his time this morning here on the Jake Asman Show. Seth, always a pleasure to catch up with you. I look forward to watching you on TV, breaking down games soon, and thanks so much for coming on once again.
Jake, my pleasure. Thanks so much. It's all about Strong Island. Let's go.
Absolutely. Seth Greenberg with us there on our progressive guest line. Strong Island's finest. Plainview, New York's finest. Oh, by the way, Seth, of course, joined us on the progressive guest line, and drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. A lot still to do. We'll come back. We'll wrap it all up for you here on a Tuesday morning. It is the Jake Asman Show. You're listening on the Sports Map Radio Network.